it appears that Russia can't deliver the one and only thing the West wants from it in Syria, an orderly exit for Bashar al-Assad. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFERL. Joining me in the studio is senior RFERL editor Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks, Brian.
And also with me this week is Pavel Butorin, managing editor of RFERL's Russian language television program Current Time. Welcome, Pavel.
Good to be here.
Good to have both of you here. So, according to a report in the Financial Times, late last year, Putin dispatched General Igor Sirgun, the head of Russia's military intelligence, the GRU, to Syria to persuade Assad to step aside. And Assad refused. Sirgun, of course, mysteriously died earlier this month. What this means, if the FT report is accurate, is that Moscow simply cannot deliver the only thing the West wants from it in Syria, and that's to get Assad out so the conflict can be resolved. Steve, how does this change the dynamics of the conflict, if at all?
Well, I think, I'd like to talk a little bit about how it maybe doesn't change things in some ways, but also how it does change things in bigger ways, probably. You can argue that it doesn't change things in that. I'm not sure I've ever seen evidence that Russia does or did have the clout to get Assad out. I mean, one of the main messages of his trip to Russia in the fall was kind of next time it's for good, he's going to be looking for a villa on Rublevka, maybe going bowling with Oskar Akayev. And Lavrov has frequently said during this whole Syrian conflict that Russia can't force Assad out. And this development suggests that may be true, or at least right now. So there's that. But in fact, I think it does actually change the situation for Russia, for one thing, both militarily and in terms of its diplomatic position, particularly if it's true, but also even if it's only exaggerated. Militarily, I think a lot of people believe Russia's strategy has been to improve with its airstrikes and other military help has been to improve the government's position on the ground. And then, first of all, prevent Assad from getting pushed from power just by, militarily. So improve the government's position on the ground and then sort of ease him out, get Assad out.
And protect Russia's interests.
Get an acceptable
government to Moscow
exactly.
In there that the West could also live with.
Right. Ease Assad out and exactly as part of a big diplomatic solution, essentially. So this does change things because it narrows Russia's options. If that's sort of off the table, what can Russia do now? One thing it can do is try to help Assad achieve do pobednego, a full victory. But that seems impossible, and it's something that, is not acceptable to many people, to most Syrians and the West and the international community in general. Another thing is, this talk about would Russia help Assad and Assad's government be in charge of an Alawite kind of statelet in Western Syria.
A frozen conflict scenario.
Right. And so that's, that's more realistic than a full victory, but it's also, something that is not going to be, pleasing to many, and it sort of leaves Russia in kind of a situation similar to actually maybe to what is going on in Ukraine, where the international community in general is not happy about this. So far better for Russia to be part of a big solution.
Right.
A big diplomatic solution that does preserve its clout, and getting Assad out would be in a managed way would do that, and particularly this would be good for Russia now because when it needs economic improvement, wants to get out from under Western sanctions, so that that brings us to how it changes things diplomatically. I think it doesn't if Russia can't get Assad out, it doesn't take Russia out of the diplomacy, but it does diminish its clout, I think.
Right.
And you'll have people wondering, okay, well, you're bombing, but you're not really, you're not with us against Islamic State. You're bombing Syria, but what are you bringing to the table, really?
Right. They're nothing, they're a problem. They're not part
right.
of the solution. They're part of the problem.
And exactly.
They have nothing really to bring to the table diplomatically. Max Fischer had a good piece in Vox on this, saying basically, and there's basically the plan B could be two things. It could be either the frozen conflict scenario you outlined, Steve, or quagmire.
Right.
Really, there really isn't anything else. Pavel, I'm sure current times all over this story. What are you cooking?
Although it is somewhat outside of our main area of interest, we are following the story. And while conflicting parties are trying to negotiate, actually today in Geneva, on the ground in northern Syria, Syrian government forces took over the town of Al-Rabia. And opposition forces are claiming that that operation took place with the support of the Russian military. And Russia appears to be making preparations to establish a new air base in Syria along the border with Turkey.
It's going to make Turkey happy.
So the move will certainly anger the Turkish government. And, you know, some Russian military personnel have been seen in the vicinity of a largely abandoned airfield in Kamishli, a city in north. East Syria, near the border with Turkey. So, and we know that the area is largely controlled by Syrian Kurds, and Russia and Syria's Kurds have, let's say, a common enemy in Turkey. So that is an interesting development amid these diplomatic efforts to solve the situation. And observers have said that prospects of reaching any sort of viable long-term resolution at this point are very slim.
So what else you got cooking at current time this week? I understand you have a piece on the Petrozavodsk, the ousted Petrozavodsk mayor, Galina Shirshina, who was forced from her post by the United Russia-dominated
legislature. Exactly. That's a very interesting story. She was dismissed by local legislature deputies in December. Then she filed a suit demanding that the decision be overturned. But a local court has now upheld her dismissal. And it was back in 2013. She defeated a United Russia candidate.
Yablokha's support,
and she became she was sort of independent, but she came to power with the support of the opposition group party Yabloko, and she became popular in the city after she canceled her own inauguration ceremony, deprived local officials and lawmakers of certain perks, introduced internet voting and public discussions of local issues. And now the local legislature is still composed mostly of pro-Kremlin United Russia lawmakers. So they fired this popular mayor for, quote, failure to carry out her duties as mayor. It's worth noting that a Finnish journalist has now been fined for interviewing Galina Shirshina without accreditation, and formally authorities have now reason to ban the reporter from entering Russia again.
Yeah, no, and the authorities are very nervous about Finnish influence in Karelia for very obvious reasons. They're worried about some phantom of pro-Finnish separatism erupting on that reason. I've always thought Karelia is an interesting place to watch, an interesting barometer of Moscow's relations with the regions, and
it's also very interesting to watch in terms of possible separatists, something that the Russian authorities have been fearing, possible separatist sentiment in that area, because you know it's very connected culturally and linguistically to Finland.
It once was Finland.
Once was Finland. There you go,
Steve. Anything to add there?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think you know this is sort of, it looks like a symptom of the kind of what appears to be increasing regional unrest or regional problems, at least, that the Kremlin's facing now, mostly because of the economic situation. I mean, you have Kadyrov's outbursts, which are part of that, maybe connected to the budget. You know, there was, Governor Ulyanovsk saying, oh, you know, majority of the people are ready to protest. These are all ways to kind of play games with Tatarstan, sort of feeling its oats a bit. So, you know, I think it's sort of just starting, but there does seem to be a bit of an upsurge of regional, I guess, discontent.
Yeah, no, it's certainly something to watch, and Karelia is something to keep a close eye on. I know I'm going to take a look at that piece, and I would encourage everybody out there that understands Russian to do so as well. And on that note, we'll wrap it up. That's all we have time for today. You have been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at the stories making news in Russia. We'll be doing this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast. Joining me has been Pavel Buturin, managing editor of RFRL's Russian language television program, Current Time, and senior RFRL editor Steve Gutterman. I got that all out. Join us again next week. And now, as always, I leave you with the ambient sounds of Noise MC.